the Carson City Cultural Commission meeting. Welcome, everybody. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Chairperson McBride.
Here.
Vice Chair Danao.
Here.
Commissioner Abel.
Here.
Commissioner Bugley.
Here.
Commissioner Ramirez.
Here.
A quorum's present.
Thank you. At this time, the public is invited to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Cultural Commission. In order for members of the public to participate in the Cultural Commission's consideration of an agenda item, the Cultural Commission strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an item during the item itself, subject to a 3-minute limit. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. So are there any public comments at this time? Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here. For the record, Tony Manfredi. I'm the Executive Director for the Nevada Arts Council. I'm here today for two items. One, I wanted to invite all of you to the Matthew Cooper From Dust to Water reception tomorrow at the Arts Council offices. It begins at 5:30 and goes till 7:30. Some really great artwork up there. And the second notification I wanted to let you know is in the back. I've brought some of our newest Nevada cultural guides that are there for you to take and distribute as you'd like. This is a collaborative piece that was put together by the Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs along with the Indian Commission, the Arts Council, and the museums. So it is a beautiful piece, and it is the first of many to come. We're going to be doing more like this. It chronicles arts and culture throughout the state. So please take some. Let me know if you need more. We have plenty to distribute. There's a really cool VR app. If you download the Layer augmented reality app and put it on this magazine, the cover comes alive and Ralph Burns actually performs on it. So it's a fantastic piece. And there's plenty to distribute, so thank you.
Hi, my name's Dr. Karen Gedney. This is my first time in front of the Cultural Commission, and I have just published my book, 30 Years Behind Bars. I was the senior prison doc for 30 years. And a meet and greet will be done at Comma Coffee, July 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. Appetizer served, no host bar. And this is a memoir, but the cultural committee might find it interesting in that every chapter leads with unique artwork. That artwork was done by one of the inmates, Ismail Santillanes, and I once, as a doctor, hosted the VSA gallery in Reno for inmate artists, and he was really picked as the best in the business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there. Good evening. My name is Joe Hooven, H-O-O-V-E-N. I'm a resident of Minden, formerly of Los Angeles, California, for about 40 years. I was on the Park and Rec Board in Burbank, Cultural Arts Commission in Burbank. Had a chance recently to meet your new Cultural Affairs Director, Mark Salinas, who we love down in Minden. And we're extremely happy and pleased to hear and meet him and hear him and about him receiving his new position. So I came here because Mark's doing a great job. The True Grit or whatever it was phenomenal. I applaud everybody here for doing it. And I hope that the Cultural Arts Commission grows. And I know under the leadership, and it sounds like from what I've heard so far, everybody's right on key. So congratulations, and I look forward to attending some of the meetings. So, thank you.
Thank Any other comments? No? Seeing none, we'll move to item number three for possible action, approval of two sets of minutes, the May 14th and then the May 28th special meeting minutes.
Do you want to take them separately or together, Terry? Does it matter?
Just to be sure, let's do separately.
Okay, got it. Okay. I move to approve the meeting minutes of May 14th, 2018, as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion approved. Okay.
And I move to approve the May 29th, 2018, Carson City Cultural Commission special meeting minutes, as presented.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Motion approved. For those in the audience, these were the two meetings that dealt with our annual recommendations to the Redevelopment Authority, special events grants, funds for various arts organizations in town. So just FYI. So at this time, we adopt the agenda as presented. Is there any reason to take agenda items out of order?
No, we'll go as it is posted.
Okay, thank you. And discussion and possible action in regard to making recommendations to the Carson City Board of Supervisors on our two vacant positions on the commission. Mark, you want to kick that discussion off?
Sure. As you know, we've been discussing for the past year about methods and techniques that can grow arts and culture here in Carson City, not only for what it is here, but also for your role and my role to become cultural ambassadors, that we keep our residents happy and also lure those visitors, whether they're regional, statewide, or even you know, national, to some of the things we have here cooking. And so all that, you know, begins not only with the purchase of artwork and exhibitions and events that we've been able to put together so far, but really the foundation and really taking a look at the charter that comprises the Cultural Commission. Reminds me, I want to make a note to talk about our 10th annual coming up. As you know, we're celebrating our 10th annual, 10th anniversary of the Cultural Commission. And in that, I've been doing, you know, a lot of research nationwide, rural capitals, nearby cities, Sacramento, Portland, on one end of the extreme, New York City, on the other end of the extreme, Helena, Montana. And so several of these cultural commissions nationwide have recommended spots on the Cultural Commission. For example, they require an arts professional, or they might require an architect, or they might require an arts educator. But they're very specific, and in doing that, they actually make the team. As you know, being a one-person department, I'm relying really upon you to help me out in your specialties. And since we've switched from meeting quarterly to meeting every other month, we see the acceleration of what we're going to do. And I think all of us have, you know, agreed that we're all on the same page for that. Janet Gary, who was representing the Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs, asked to step down for retirement purposes. And Sandra Nagel, who was representing the Culture and Tourism Authority, unfortunately her attendance hit below what the Board of Supervisors requires. And I made those notes, Chair President Terry, you and I made those notes and gave them to the Board of Supervisors in late April. So I've spoken to Iris at great length about Carson City Municipal Code 2.41.080, which states, the commission will work with its partners in the community, including but not limited to the Carson City Arts and Culture Coalition, Western Nevada College, Nevada Department on Tourism, Nevada Department on Cultural Affairs, Carson City's Convention and Visitors Bureau, Carson City Redevelopment Authority, and Carson City's Future Downtown Improvement, Carson City's Future Downtown Business Improvement District. So some of the wording there is quite old, you know. But that was just, as you heard me say, the commission will work with partners. It's not, and Iris, chime in if I'm getting off course here, these aren't appointing organizations. So we've been going forward with the Carson City Arts and Culture Coalition, having what has been an appointment, the Nevada Department of Tourism and Cultural Affairs, and our local Carson City Visitors Bureau, now the CTA. So in speaking with Iris about these two vacancies and how we're going to move forward with a clear interpretation of this charter, I think we have the opportunity to discuss among ourselves who we need as co-workers. What's the thing? You're either volunteered or voluntold. But who can help us with that? And on the staff report, number five, you'll see the charter that I just read. But it's really, you know, the onus is upon us to really create diversity among the board in age, in socio, I don't have the language in front of me. Oh, here it is. Sorry. The members of the commission are required to be appointed by the Carson City Board of Supervisors. The Cultural Commission is required to contain people on its commission who have an appreciation for Carson City's rich cultural tradition, a broad and informed perspective of the arts, along with demonstrated knowledge and responsiveness to the existing arts community and community at large. In addition to representing a cross-section of the city's age, multicultural, socioeconomic, professional, artistic, and volunteer diversity. So that being said, this is our time to really put our heads together and see what we need, who we need, to make that next step. This is very important for me. I've done a lot of research, as I said, nationwide, and I found that in the state of Washington, Michigan, and in Idaho, the arts and culture commissions there actually have a youth representative. Actually, having a university representative, I've read, is pretty fairly common among municipalities, whether it's in library or parks and rec. Less common among arts and cultural commissions. And in speaking with my colleagues throughout the state, that doesn't exist right now in Nevada. So that might be an opportunity for Carson City as a capital to lead with this, as we know.
Define youth.
A youth could be someone maybe from a university or someone who's enrolled in a college. It could be, Iris, do you want to add any more? Okay. You know, it's always important to bring in that next generation of arts advocates. I don't think it's ever too early to think of the succession plan. I know that I would say my Achilles heel, I'm not a parent, I don't have any children, but would be youth, bringing the youth in. You know, as you know, I became a board member of the Boys and Girls Club to try to get in touch with youth to see what's happening, see what they're interested in. They actually reached out to me and said that they wanted to put together they called it a street art learning group. That's another project on the side. But that's what I'm sort of thinking about.
Would they need to be a Carson City resident? The reason I ask this, you know, is I've gone through the arts department at UNR. It's a great department, great people, quite a diversity. So I'm just wondering, would you want somebody that's from here as opposed then to somewhere else?
Right. They would have to be a Carson City resident. some people.
Yeah, like, I would argue that would be good. I mean, UNR students are great, and they're just down the road. But if they live full time in Reno, they won't be spreading the good news, so to speak, down here.
And you know, I know that a youth representative, whether they're in college or whether there's some of the young artists that we've seen come into our meetings and introduce themselves and what they're doing. Maybe it's something where it's a one-year appointment, and we'd have to take a look at the charter for city commissions and see if that's possible or not.
And do we open it up to WNC Arts Department as well, and absolutely. Both?
I think so. I think, you know, I'm going to follow the commission's decision on this, but it would be great to find someone who has more of a capacity for this stuff and getting out what we need, what we do.
Lupe, you're our WNC friend up here. What do you think about?
I like the idea, and I would love to make a recommendation to definitely reach out to our students at WNC. I know we have many students in the art department who would be very interested in serving in this commission, and I think it would be really good to have their perspective and their insight in terms of what they want to see in Carson City, especially for the youth. I know we definitely need to provide something to them so that they don't have to drive to Reno. So I think getting some input from a youth person on the board, I think, would be fabulous.
I'd like to add to that. And Pioneer High School has a lot of students that are going towards an artistic bent, and I would suggest that you reach out to Jason Zona, and maybe you have at a once-a-month representative just come in from the school to be a part of the meeting. So it's just a thought in terms of broadening the artistic awareness in that age group.
I agree with Lupe. The shows I've seen up at the college have been remarkable, and if not students, then an associate, you know, teacher, director, whatever. But I think there's just a wealth of opportunity in folks up there.
I don't really have a problem with the three-year position because many times students stay in the area when they graduate. And if they don't, there's no guarantee that any of us will be on the board for a full 3 years. So you can appoint them for 3 years, and if they leave, then we replace them.
So that was one category.
I'd like to also chime in. I think it's a good idea to have somebody from the business community, just because we want to engage them as well, that side of Carson, the commercial side. And if we can get buy-in from them, that'll spread our reputation. I was thinking this afternoon about this issue, and I was thinking the Carson Tahoe Hospital is the largest employer in town. And, you know, one aspect of our arts master plan is the arts and healing component. And maybe, I don't know what we could do to gauge the interest up there on that medical campus, but, you know.
The interest is being gauged. The Greenhouse Project is working on a wellness garden with them, and so they are on board with this already.
I also think Don Cool, who came and spoke in favor of our whole plan, who is very involved in arts and youth and so on, you know, if he doesn't himself, because he's pretty busy with the change companies, he certainly knows a lot of folks out there.
I'd also thought about, you know, who's the largest employer around besides the state. And, you know, I did a lot of, and I'll show in this in the next agenda item some of the work I did with the state in trying to advertise what we do. I also think, you know, actually having an arts professional, someone full-time employed in the arts as a professional, someone who could perhaps teach us some stuff that's going on that we don't know, myself included. I think that would be an important role to have, an important sort of antenna to deliver our message to their Rolodex. People don't talk in terms of Rolodex. They share their C drive? I don't know. That's why we need that person, right? Oh, well.
Right, and then there's also an argument to be made to have another nonprofit, an arts organization, another rep from another nonprofit who works full-time, constantly trying to drum up support, mm-hmm. you know, for arts in the community. That's, mm-hmm. you know.
So the plan tonight was to make recommendations so that the Board of Supervisors will be, I think we're going to advertise this as a citizen at large, and then.
So are we going to come back? Because I think we're opening the application period, and then we're going to have one more meeting here, right, before the final Board of Supervisors meeting, and that's when the recommendations from here will go to the Board of Supervisors. So this is sort of just the preamble to the recommendations, I think.
Well, okay, so formally, as it stands now, when you put out a call for a citizens at large seat, anyone from the community can put an app in, and then the board selects. So are we talking about inserting another step, or what? Yeah, the Board of Supervisors.
So we make the recommendation to the board, though.
Yes, you're absolutely allowed to make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, but there are really only a few requirements, the requirements that Mark read off in the staff summary. Additionally, residence of Carson City is a requirement, but they are citizen-at-large positions. So that's why we kind of went back and forth in this. Later on, when we do revisions to the municipal code, we can do direct appointments if that's what the board wants. But for now, I think we're just sort of gearing towards the direction of what you guys want for recommendations.
Iris, is it my understanding that when the vacancies are posted, that applicants would turn in their forms, and then the Cultural Commission could interview those applicants?
That's what I was thinking. I mean, it's really kind of up to you.
I think that's how Reno's Arts and Culture Commission does it. The applicants come to the commission. The commission chooses however vacancies are open. And then the staff liaison goes to the Board of Supervisors or their council with those names.
So let me just tell you that the way that I've seen it is sometimes the Board of Supervisors does the actual interviews. That's not required in this case. So it's just however, as a policy, you decide that you want to do it. I definitely think, I mean, you guys would be great to interview and then make recommendations to the board, and then the board could do additional interviews if they chose to do that.
So I would suggest that we open these up to citizens at large. We've discussed among ourselves what's important. And based upon who we get, it is the summer. If we are looking for a youth representative, I think we might want to push this at least until school starts, which would take us to the maybe a late September Board of Supervisor meeting. We have a meeting, our next meeting in September is September 9th. That could be a regular meeting, or that we could actually interview people then. But I'd have to catch that next Board of Supervisors meeting to get that information in on time. So we could possibly be looking at a full commission of five for the summer, and then trying to get those last two vacancies October. Does that calendar sound about right?
Yeah. I have a comment and a question. If we do the interview process here and we have 4 or 5 people and we send them on to the Board of Supervisors, and these are our recommendations, but the board doesn't particularly want someone.
Well, it's my understanding that...
Is that embarrassing?
That we are, that you would be choosing 2 names, and then I would be taking those 2 names to the Board of Supervisors?
But if they're going to interview...
I believe the interview would be among us.
Are we it, and we just want a rubber stamp?
We interview, no. We just want a rubber stamp.
I understand. However, the Board of Supervisors is required to make the appointment. So whatever the Board of Supervisors says goes. What I would recommend, and of course it's up to Mark as a policy how he wants to do it, but what you could do is depending on how many applicants you have, you could recommend a few people and then they could go to the board and be sort of interviewed again by the board. I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can do it, and I know that we're sort of developing this as we go.
Speaking as one of the Board of Supervisors, I think it would be appreciated that recommendations be brought forward and why, and I think the board would appreciate that in making their final decision. Just my thought.
Because it would be a huge time saver, and then they could do additional interviews if they wanted to.
Just to recount what happened with my appointment is I saw the ad in the newspaper. I said, what the heck? I'll apply. I want to get more involved in the arts. And there were 2 of us in the running, and they chose me. And then for my reappointment, it was announced again in the paper that this seat was open. So I reapplied, and another gentleman also applied, and so there were 2 of us again, and we were both interviewed. And so that's just how it went for me.
Ditto.
Yeah. So should we, when we make a motion here, should part of the motion be the kinds of things that we want to have in the press, in the announcement, things that we're looking for, including youth between the ages of 18 and 23 who are either in an arts education field or practicing arts are strongly encouraged to apply? Should we put something like that in? Yeah.
I think we had so many to get all the diversity that Mark mentioned, each person would have to fill 2 or 3 of these criteria. So maybe we don't want to be that specific.
I think we do, and I think there are those people out there that would fill a few of those categories. So it's just to broaden the scope of who we have on the board, correct?
And what's typical, I know, with my colleagues in Reno is that if an architect, for example, doesn't apply, then that position, that seat is vacant until someone does. So to answer your question, though, I think the possible action would be, we could just call it those 3 or 4 categories that we mentioned, that it's advertised as a citizen at large. I can speak to Rachel tomorrow about posting that vacancy, but that we keep that vacancy. We receive applications. I would say up until our next meeting, and then maybe we do a special meeting in September, because our meeting's September 10th. School starts, I mean, that's right after Labor Day. And in the meanwhile.
School starts before Labor Day.
But a lot of people are going to be on vacation with that holiday and come back. And in the meanwhile, we can try to spread the word about the 2 vacancies.
So just a clarification, are we considering high school students and college students or only college students and above?
I believe that all commissioners have to be at least 18 years of age. So I think for this, we'll say, I think it's, you know, voting age.
your idea of having an open invite for to the Pioneer High School and maybe to the arts department up at WNC have an ongoing standing invitation to please come.
I'm hoping that who shows up enlightens us and has and gives us an option that we haven't seen or discussed. So I would recommend that we have the applications open until our next meeting on September 10th. We can discuss it further if we need to. We call a special meeting to review the applicants thereafter. I can get in touch with you, you know, mid-August about what's convenient for all of us to convene, to have a quorum for that.
For the business community, what do you suppose would be the best way? Because the business community, they're not reading little, let's join an art group. They're doing other things. Do you recommend that we talk to folks in the business community and suggest they, you know, they get involved if they're interested? Otherwise, I'm a little concerned about how we would get information.
I think, as you mentioned, the hospital would certainly fall into that category. Basically, any for-profit organization.
Click Bond. Rotary. See, I'll just go to Rotary. You can come to Rotary as my guest and be a speaker and talk about it. And that's how you're going to get it out in the community.
Okay.
Yeah. Some people don't care that much, yeah. And some people really
and
do.
And some really do. Yeah. I just think John Copeland.
Okay, so any other discussion with the commissioners? Are there any comments from the public? Does the public have any input or feedback for us? Advice? Yes, please.
It's a very, very interesting discussion.
State your name for the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Joe Hooven, H-O-O-V-E-N. I'm a resident of Minden for about a year and a half from Los Angeles. It's an interesting discussion, what you're doing, and Mark is really, really talented. I would recommend that you go after somebody in the business community, somebody who is, if they have these interests, somebody who's a successful business person, also an art collector, or has an interest in the arts. The Northern Nevada Development Authority, the NNDA, is here in Carson. It's loaded with top construction people, subcontractors, developers, general contractors. You also have the Chamber of Commerce, who's got, you know, a lot of people who are, you know, successful and connected and stuff like that. The other thing, I think the business is very, very important. The other thing I think that is very important is I've had personal contact and some interaction with Western Nevada College, and they're outstanding. I mean, they're just, you know, really, really superb, all of them. I've dealt with a woman named Georgia White, who probably you know, and she is just absolutely sensational. She's the outreach person. She's out in the community speaking all the time, and I'm sure she can guide you, you know, to the art people. But yeah, I mean, I think the business community is really, really important because of the, what they call it, you know, cachet or whatever that they could bring. And then also you have a fine college here in Western Nevada College. So.
I would seem to echo what Joe had said. You know, it seems like there are three categories were youth, business, and an arts professional, full-timer. And I'm just trying to, you know, in my head just to see where the sequence of that would fall. And I'm thinking maybe the youth, because they're the bellwether of what's going on, what we don't know. Maybe the arts professional, because they have the tools and the staff and the colleagues to help problem solve. And then maybe it's the business and business thereafter with the funding once we have the idea. Define.
Mark, youth, yes. Would you define as age 18 to 25? I'm just thinking in terms of emotion.
I'm not, Iris, do you know what age, is it 18 or is it 21 for it to be on a commission?
I'm not sure, I'll look it up, give me one sec.
Because it doesn't mention that in our cultural commission charter, but in the other document of all state commissions, boards, and it probably is. And then, Chair McBride, I would also recommend that we keep that application window open until 9/10, September 10th, with the expectation of reviewing those applicants at a special meeting.
So, who wants to make that?
I'll try it.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
So, I haven't found it yet, but what I'm thinking is you could just say with an appropriate age category, and we can look it up and find out exactly what it is.
All right, then I would like to make a motion that we open up the two citizen at large applications for a business professional, arts professional, and or youth representative in the appropriate age bracket. That the application period go till September 10th, and then we call a special meeting to review those applicants.
Second.
And then make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors based on that special meeting.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. Thank you. Okay, so on to the next agenda item, which is our True Grit Big Read final report by Mark Salinas.
My chair is missing a wheel, and it's not projecting on the wall, so give me 1 second, please. Thank you, Tamar. Tamar's been a real pleasure to work with. So I just submitted the final written report that's required from the NEA to receive the second half of funding. It's about 20%. This is sort of a visual storyboard of this process. So just to recap, you know, if anyone, you know, asks you what is this Big Read thing? It's an initiative of the National Endowment of the Arts, the NEA, in partnership with Arts Midwest, and its intention is to broaden understanding of our world through a good book, and it's to create reader engagement in new methods, and it challenges communities to do that through this grant. This is a history timeline of the grant for the state of Nevada. So as you can see, in 2007, when it started, Vegas and Reno received it. We're the only recipient in 2018, and no winners were selected from Nevada this year. When I was at the Visitors Bureau, now the CTA, I was the applicant, having transferred to the city. I administered it, but I intentionally selected a city partner and a state partner, and that was the library and the state museum here. Now, I applied for the grant in January 2017. I was notified mid-year. And a very important thing was, you know, the Nevada Day parade, its theme was arts and entertainment. And I thought, when I was writing the grants, I put in there, you know, listen, NEA, if you award this to us, we will pre-celebrate by making a fantastic rattlesnake float. So if you're familiar with the book, well, you listen, you should be familiar with this book by now. But this, so I designed this this float, but it was really apparent that I couldn't administer a 30-day project and build a float on top of it. So Kathy Rush from our city library has a terrific arts background in film and TV, and she was kind enough to take on this project and invite students from WNC's Latino cohort to her house to make this. So there you have my Subaru. All the stuff from Home Depot was miraculously changed into this rattlesnake. And here we are in Kathy's backyard. This is a page from Kathy's report to the Board of Trustees. So it actually fell within the library's mission of outreach and community engagement. Here we are at the parade. We had shirts made up, and this was really, you know, advertising to come of this big event. Commissioner Ramirez, I believe your students from the Latino cohort were also there walking with an eye patch and a bandana and this great t-shirt. Here it is in situ at WNC with all 15 or 16 bales of straw that this afternoon myself and Stevie Galato hauled in a U-Haul back to Benson's. But, you know, WNC didn't stop there, and Commissioner Ramirez didn't stop there either. The Latino cohort really helped me in all manners that you cannot imagine. How do you fold 2,000 calendars? How do you put eye patches on books? I can't do it myself. And her and her kids were really wonderful in helping me do that. Not only did they take their, you know, their own leadership among themselves to sort of wrangle the public in these events. But they're really fantastic to work with. And, you know, this is all just trying to get the word out. These are three of my favorite people that I reached out to, and I felt I got a really good response, something new for Carson City. Chris Wagner from Reno News and Review came down here to Carson City. I was invited up to KUNR, and we got this letter from the governor. But this is all before the big day. This is all before True Grit. I want to show this if it works. Guess not. Okay. So, in, you know, in figuring out how we're going to advertise this, and, you know, now, you know, that I'm in the city, I have the challenge of really trying to educate and partner with the other colleagues, the other department heads. What is this art guy, and what are we doing? And we've been here 10 years. Tell us more about that. Well, it's a challenge. So this was an opportunity with redevelopment. There was a project on the table from my CTA days, Reimagined Space. This is a westward-facing wall on Proctor and Stewart Street. The Reimagined Space redevelopment put aside $10,000 to revitalize vacant or vandalized commercial spaces, broken glass, I guess these gas containers from RV, abandoned wood, didn't smell too good. But I thought this was a fantastic spot to kind of hit two birds with one stone. You know, I have to be very efficient in the moves I make, and if I can stack lots of projects in one, if I can connect the dots and try to use as less energy to make the highest impact, I will. And so Dion Reynolds is there on the left, and we're going to speak about him later on tonight. I met him in Eureka when I went to a conference. Him and his wife are a team. He's a former Nevada Arts Council board member. And this wall was identified. I worked with Lee in development as what we're going to do. And I put up a big red tape, and I said, you know, no parking here. Well, the gentleman here on the right, his name is Mr. Beebe, and he was asking, what's going on this wall? I said, well, we're going to put up this big 10-foot by 22-foot wheat paste, and we have these artists coming in from Eureka. And he got so excited about it that the next day when I stopped by, he took the liberty of taking a pizza box and taping it to the wall and saying, no, no, no parking. We're painting the wall. Thank you. And here we are putting up this fantastic wheat paste. This is an enlargement of the photograph you see here on my right, which is framed. And this is of a ranch, I believe they said it was about 50 miles north of Eureka. So while this had a Western True Grit theme, it also satisfied the need of redevelopment's theme of addressing blight with some creative intervention. And I love how this continues to be an intervention just when walking by Carson Street, not only for us or state employees, but the people who come and visit. So, has everyone had dinner tonight? I have the pleasure of working with Rachel Schneider. She's the PIO for the city. And I reached out to my friend Charlie Abow, and I said, Charlie, we got this True Grits novel. Can you give me some recipe for grits? And I said, Rachel, maybe you and I can put that out in a press release or something like that, you know. Just really push the boundaries of what we're doing here. And she thought of one thing better. She reached out to Chief Slayman, and she said, hey, Mark, why don't you cook the grits at Fire Station 51? Wow, okay, so I did that. The same day after I helped Dion and Trish put up their wheat paste, now I'm over at the firehouse with two live cameras on me and a whole bunch of hungry guys. So she made a fantastic video. You can see down there in the right left corner, 2,000 people reached. Another demographic said that this video was very popular with males between the ages of 35 and 45. Now that, I can tell you, is not a demographic that I'm hitting in my day-to-day. Okay? So, and of course, they went back for seconds, and those grits were gone. So, working with redevelopment, working with the fire department, and that was all just preparation, getting the word out for what we're doing for this kickoff weekend, May 3, 4, and 5. So, as you know, I put out the call for artists in April. Nevada Appeal and Carson Now were really great in covering, I think I counted over 25 articles about True Grit. That's almost an article every day, not including the daily article highlighting the show at WNC, the art gallery. So this was an opportunity to reach out to four casinos, Goldust West, Carson Nugget, Casino Max, and Fandango. I had been collecting canceled cards from these casinos for the past year with the intention of doing some type of art project. You can call it upscaling or recycling or whatever you want to call it. It was my opportunity to reach out to these four industries that have not been touched before by arts and culture here. So the result was this fantastic show at WNC. Goldust West and Carson Nugget were the jurors. Goldust West and Casino Max were kind enough to donate prizes for two of the categories, the youth and the WNC student. We had 74 works of art. 44 of those were from the open call. 30 were from WNC. So these works here on the wall sort of indicate the sort of participant polygon. Initially, I'll be honest with you, I thought we were just going to get Carson and Sparks and Reno. Top left, we have Incline Village. The lamp that you see on the upper right, that's from Sparks. Down below with that pinata is from Las Vegas. In the middle, we have Winnemucca and then another piece from Las Vegas. So Incline, Sparks, Winnemucca, Vegas. That's how far this, how far we received final artworks. Of course, I got interest from people as far as California wanting decks of cards sent to them in the mail, and that's how I got these decks of cards. I will say that just today, the Linda Schaefer, who made that fantastic headpiece that you see in the left-hand corner, this was the second time in picking up her artwork that her and her husband drove to Carson City. They've never been to Carson City before. They've lived here a long time in Vegas. So they came up here twice. The pinata there on the bottom right-hand corner, he sent me a picture of himself standing next to it. So he found time to come up here from Las Vegas. And, of course, the guitar from Winnemucca, I believe Cindy is coming here, I think, on Wednesday. The exhibit closed Friday. We deinstalled everything over the weekend and today. But this is more than just a temporary show. This has longevity, and this is planned. This is part of the strategy. I reached out to the Clampers through Stephen Saylor and his wife, and they donated four little libraries with Western themes. So these are assets that Carson City has to remind us of what we did, but also serve the community in parts of need. You know, if you're not familiar with little libraries, it's sort of a honor system where you take one, leave a book. Another pleasant surprise from True Grit is that Dion and Trish Reynolds have offered to donate the actual artwork here on my left, the actual photograph that inspired their wheat paste. They said, you know, wheat paste is only going to be up there temporarily, maybe 2 years. We want to donate a piece to help kickstart the public art collection in Carson City, and I think that's pretty awesome. On the left, the artist from Incline Village is now using some of the canceled cards she didn't use for some of her own artwork, which she is selling. So we can see the influence upon artists having participated in this. And on the right, you see Focus 3. This is put together by Travel Nevada. It's an annual conference of photographers. Cindy Whitaker, there wearing the red blouse in the center, she's the one who made the guitar from Winnemucca. Statewide photographers, they met at the BAC not too long ago. And she was going to have her presentation be all about participating in True Grit. So now we're really getting the word out in several different ways, not only in how artists are now thinking and acting upon making their own mark making, but in conferring with other artists. And of course, here are two pieces that are further here on my left by April and Rose Barber. These are the best of shows. These are two pieces that I chose. The casino representatives chose first, second, and third for youth, for WNC students, and for the open adult call. And I'll repeat what I said that evening, is that, you know, True Grit, our whole 30 days is about storytelling, you know? We won this. We're the only organization in the state to have won this. Much like Capital Collage, it's about celebrating what we have, including the community in what we have, and as ambassadors, telling that story and how we were a part of this story going forward. The story of True Grit is really, in my opinion, a story of youth empowerment, and it's a story about family relations. This young girl loses her father in a horrible manner. Yet she chooses to walk away from her mother to find justice, and in that adventure and in that growth. And so April and Rose are daughter and mother, and they entered the show together, and they're from Washoe Valley, and they're here with us in the audience today. And they're on a later agenda item, but I wanted to show you these pieces as well. So that was the first day. All of that was the build-up to True Grit and the first day. The next day, the kickoff weekend, Rhonda Aben from Classic Cinema Club here put together a fantastic series of films, the True Grit 69 and the True Grit 2010. Here we have Glenn Wharton talking about the Nevada prison. He was the guest speaker. We had a fantastic display at the library, not only old movie posters, but a stand-up of John Wayne. He sort of became the mascot for this thing, and I kind of popped him up in different places around the city. 441 True Grit paperbacks were distributed for free. I purchased 300, thinking we'd offload 100 on that first Thursday, Friday, Saturday kickoff weekend. One of our partners was the State Library. And they said, they actually informed me that, you know, during True Grit, it's Nevada State Employee Week. If you want to distribute some books, feel free to do so at our front desk. So I took 10%, I took 30 books, and I brought them over there. Within, by 9:30 that Monday morning, those were gone. I poached some more from the library. By 11:30, those were gone. So I ended up buying another 141 and giving them to the state library to distribute. They had requests as far as Las Vegas Gaming Commission, and they were distributing these through their inter-office mail. My thanks goes to Mary Woods for spearheading this, the idea, the concept, and the administration of it. She received over 500 requests for free paperback books from Carson City. So I put together a real cool thank you note that she then gave to all the people that we could not service in that manner. We celebrated Cinco de Mayo at the Carson City Library. This was an effort to engage Spanish readership. Once again, we commissioned the International Folkloric Dancers. WNC Latino Cohort was there to provide translation services. People love John Wayne around here. They Rachel and Debbie Lambin, I don't think they've been here in front of us before, but they make art out of books. And so they had a fantastic turnout there. This is all on the same day. Also at the library, I put together, I reached out to the department, Nevada Department of Wildlife, for some rattlesnake identification classes. The Carson City Gun Club gave out free round of skeet during Memorial Day if you showed your book. We had an unveiling of the, although the Dion and Trish's wheat paste was up before the kickoff weekend, we had a unveiling of it, specifically targeting state employees in the Laxaw building. This is right in their backyard, and it was another attempt to connect with a state entity. Milo McCormick up there in the upper left-hand corner, he also, not only did he play for this event, he played for the opening. I can tell you for certainty that he's booked 4 gigs just from performing for us, for this True Grit. Jan Loveran, a partner with me, if you recall, at the Fashion Films in February 2017, put out a fantastic thing, fantastic presentation, comparing the costumes of both movies there at their textile museum on Arrowhead Road. Whenever I have anything, whenever I partner with Jan there, it's always sold out, and it's always filled with people who've lived here their entire life, but they've never been there before, and this was no exception. And she's a great storyteller. These are all costumes of that era. Not costumes, either, garments of that era. Meanwhile, at the museum here on Carson Street, there's a lot of activities for kids. Myna Stafford, the new education's director there, has done a fantastic job, as well as the entire staff, really. Maureen Conlon put together fantastic programming at the Children's Museum. They had a great big sign out there you could see every day. And I really appreciate her attention to detail on the little things, because that was really what sells people. So I haven't even really touched upon, you know, that we had reader groups at Carson High and at the Senior Center and traveling reader groups. We've hit so many boxes, you know, on this. Age, diversity, this is a quilt that she recently put together. And Maureen, you know, Maureen's great. She's here in the audience, I think. Yeah. She's full of good ideas. And so when I was deinstalling the artwork this past Saturday, I'm trying to find a home for that rattlesnake, all 15 bales of hay. Commissioner Abowd thought that they could put it in the parking lot of Adele's, but just kidding. But Maureen had a great idea. She said, how about the Reno Airport?
Oh.
Because they already have animals there, they have art there, and so I'm going to try and give it a shot. Mm-hmm. And absolutely. And, you know, I had some fun doing this. Glenn gave me a backstage tour of the prison. There's some artwork from the prison. Stewart Indian School was also a partner. We had a reader group there. They gave tours of it. This was a setup at the state archives, the state library. This is the thank you card I sent out. One of the finale was bringing in Chris Hoy, former U.S. Marshal for the state of Nevada. We went to the Boys and Girls Club and walked into this. It's a dark slide, but there's probably 50 kids there watching a YouTube video interview of him cast upon the wall there. In the front, you'll see a couple of books I was going to give out and some movie posters. And we stopped by here. Christopher Hoy used to be a Boys and Girls Club member. And so he was telling the kids about his personal experience. And of course, like any adult in front of a whole bunch of kids, does anyone have any questions? Raise their hands. No. Okay. Thank you. Then once you're done, we are there for another 45 minutes. But he is a great storyteller. He's a great citizen. I'm so happy to have spent a couple of days with him coming here to Carson City from Las Vegas. He was appointed by President Obama in 2008. The kids wanted their photograph taken with him. They were giving him, he walked away with a lot of swag. They were giving him stuff left and right. Concluding this, the chamber recognized True Grit as the event of the year for 2018. So I was pretty excited about that. And so I have a very long list of thank yous. These are my library partners, my state partners, federal partners, U.S. Marshals Service, plenty of state agencies cooperated and were partners in this. Lots of city departments. There's Iris's name up there. Iris, thank you very much. Our city partners, our local individuals and businesses, our regional news networks. All these are organizations of people that I worked with directly. And then finally, all of our statewide artists. And you'll see in parentheses the adults that participated in the open call and where they're from. So a lot of people that I want to thank, and just want to take a moment to say thank you for that. Oh, I want to end on this image. I'm not going to mention her name because I don't want to embarrass her, but as part of the storytelling, I received these two images in an email recently. And the woman said to me that, you know what, I was lying in bed and looking up at the smoke detector, which is on the left, and I've been thinking about True Grit and all the activities that I've attended. And I said, wow, that kind of looks like Rooster Cogburn. And so she got up there and with a Sharpie penciled in an eye patch. I think that's really something to say when people are thinking about what we're doing at home, and that what we're doing is affecting their vision. And I love it that it's a little corny and funny too. Thank you.
Thank you for all of your extremely hard work, Mark, coordinating all that. Quite the puzzle you put together there. And it was lots of fun. I actually even made some art. So thanks. OK. Okay, the next item on the agenda is discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for the purchase of two works of art by Rose and April Barber from the budget of the Department of Art and Cultural Affairs and Arts and Culture for a fiscal impact of $200 to be potentially introduced into Carson City's public art collection.
Thank you. So Rose and April, I mentioned before, they won Best of Show among in that WNC exhibition, and I kind of gave you the reason why. Not only because I thought they were technically superb, but I like the idea of keeping a mother and daughter's piece together. I think that's part of the storytelling. And they're from Washoe here, and they're here with us. And what I'm bringing to you today, I'm going to ask them to come up and talk in a bit. But after Iris whispers something in my ear. Oh, okay. No, thought I was in trouble. No violations while she's gone. Okay. So what we're going to do is put a list together of works to put in front of the Board of Supervisors to be considered as assets in the Carson City art collection. Now, Inside the Mind of Da Vinci will have to be on that list, too, because its last payment is in October of this year. But the contract reads it'll be donated to the city. We just really have to get everything organized. And once I put this agenda together, I thought, wow, you know, these souvenirs of these storytelling, whether it's capital collage, artwork that we hired artists to make, backdrops or decor, there's no reason to get rid of this. This is part of the storytelling, just like that 50-foot-long snake. And it's my belief that I'm going to come forth to you again with a big list of all that stuff, how much it's worth, and where I would like to install it, or a couple of locations where we might be able to. And please understand, it's going to take some time to do that, too. I have to work with the chief on what's safe to install and right of way and those sort of things. So the $200 would be taken out of the arts and culture budget. These are the two pieces in front, and I'm just going to embarrass them a bit by just talking about it.
Mark?
Yes?
Will this recommendation include preservation, taking care of them in the future, especially for the outdoor installations?
Well, I'm trying to be.
If he includes Da Vinci.
Yeah, these artworks, these three artworks in front of us today, have minimal to zero need for maintenance. You know, and I think with the small budget that I have, I think it's important to start collecting, to continue collecting these sort of storytelling pieces of how we're moving forward, how we're getting Joe's attention to come here. You know what I mean? So these have very minimal. I do believe that if we go forward,
as a policy,
that will be in the policies and procedures. I don't know if it'll be a definite percentage. It could be a percentage of a certain purchase dedicated for a large outdoor sculpture.
And also, do you have accession forms? Are you completing so that there's a record of how we acquired those for the city?
I learned recently that the city actually has, and on my computer is one, it's a metallic sticker that it has a code, and it says it's city property. And so they have an IT system for information input on that.
Well, I'm thinking more of museum collections, how people bring stuff in, but you have to keep a very good record of how
right.
you acquired it so that somebody doesn't come back later and say, hey, that's mine.
I actually assumed I would have to build all that paperwork. I was a registrar at Marion Goodman Gallery and Pace Gallery, and so I did that stuff from scratch. So I'll take care of it.
So yeah, but you think the city system is probably adequate for those needs?
For right now, and I'm sure that there are some pieces on walls around here that would need to be on this list as well. You know, like the works of the gouache paintings out here in the lobby, those five or six ones, to do some research and see where those are and who owns those.
Okay.
I would suggest working with Stephanie Hicks in asset management, okay, because there is a program, and I think we just have to be included in it.
Sure. So what she did is she took the cards to sort of make sort of like a Palomino pony here, took the queen face to make the rider, and with the metallic sticker that's used to seal the cards once they've been canceled, sometimes that's a drill, sometimes it's a marking on the corner. Here we have a hat made out of that. And the method for cancellation in this card is a pneumatic punch. And she thoughtfully put a thread through that pneumatic punch so we could see it as acting as a saddle. So I thought there's a lot of moments of creativity in this small work here. And it's entitled Girl Power, which again I think is strong to the concept of the book. This is Mom's piece, and it's called Poker Face. And it's hard to believe that this is made from just flat cards, this mask, and sort of wind in the hair, and the use of spades for eyes. And again, I guess maybe she received a red deck of cards from the Nugget. That has the lips. Do you want to come up and just say hi, introduce yourselves? Maybe the commission has questions.
Good job, guys. So how did you get the cards wet and mold them so that they so that that mask became 3D? Or
hi, I'm Rose.
And I'm April Barber. We're from Washoe Valley. I cut all those individual cards into little pieces and then just formed them over some wood dowels to round them a little bit. And punched with a small punch all the holes and then laced them all together with wax linen so that they took the right shape. And on the back, there's like wax linen threads holding different parts so that they'll stay curved.
How long did it take?
It took probably about 25 hours.
Wow. Well done.
We're all for girl power.
Yeah.
Good job, and thank you so much for submitting entries, and I hope that we have more contests in the future, and you guys will keep submitting. Thank you so much.
Thanks, and thank you for being here so we could see the artists.
So for that possible action, it's to move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the induction of these two works of art into Carson City's public art collection. And that I would be coming to you at a later date with a longer list of items, which would include the rattlesnake, which would include items from Capitol Collage. But this is the formal method of doing this.
Okay. So do you want me to reread the motion that you've already read?
Yes, I move
to recommend to the Carson City Board of Supervisors induction of two works of art into Carson City's public art collection, which, if approved for induction, will be purchased from Rose and April Barber for $200.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay. We can do public comment, guys.
Are there any public comments besides from the artists themselves? No? Seeing none? Well done.
Okay.
So the next item on the agenda is discussion and possible recommendation to the Carson City Board of Supervisors, the acceptance of a piece of artwork to be introduced into the city's public art collection valued at $500 to be donated by Dion Reynolds.
So Deanna and Trish Reynolds were the artists that created the wheat paste, and I hope you get a chance to see that. I had no idea that they would be so generous enough not only to loan five pieces for the True Grit show at WNC, but also offer that work to us. Dion's CV reads here that he has works in the Nevada Museum of Art. As I said, he was a board member of the Nevada Arts Council for 5 years. He's had works in the U.S. Senate Russell Rotunda in Washington, D.C. I asked them to, and tomorrow I'll give this to you later for the record, just to write a letter, and so I'm going to read that to you. To the board members of the Carson City Cultural Commission, we would like to extend our appreciation and thanks to Carson City's forward thinking about arts in the community. We are very pleased to be asked to participate in the Redevelopment Reimagine Space Commission's goal to fight blight. Joel Dunn was instrumental in our initial involvement with the program, and working with both Joel and Mark Salinas, one mural project could address both the Reimagine Space and the True Grit Big Read grant goals. Since our part of the project was the outdoor mural and its longevity is considered temporary, we would like to donate an archival framed artwork of the same image, which was also on display at the Western Nevada College True Grit Art Show, to initiate Carson City's public art collection. We hope the city and the commission will accept our donation and proudly display it to commemorate both the Reimagine Space Project and the National Endowment of the Arts Big Read Grant of True Grit. We'd like to congratulate Mark on the success of bringing the community together with so many varied events based on one book. Bravo. We encourage the commission to continue their bold steps in making Carson City an even more livable city with ongoing additions of public art available in unconventional spaces. Thank you, Dion and Trish Reynolds. They are on the road. I invited them here. They wish they could be here. They gave me this letter instead.
Are there any members of the public present tonight that would like to comment on this donation? Okay, seeing none.
I move to recommend to the Carson City Board of Supervisors the acceptance of a piece of artwork to be introduced into the city's public art collection valued at $500 to be donated by Dion Reynolds.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Okay. For the wrap-up, for discussion, Arts and Culture Coordinator Report.
My report is just, I don't have a PowerPoint presentation as I usually do. I invested that time in that quite verbose True Grit report. But I'm happy to say that I've been receiving a lot of RSVPs from former cultural commissioners, which I have not met before. And they're super excited to be there at Cynthia Brenneman's house at Bliss Mansion to celebrate our 10th. And I'm super excited that the coalition has kindly offered to sponsor the lunch. I believe there's 44 people that were invited. Unfortunately, we can't invite more than one person from every group. I was thoughtful as I could be in making sure that the Board of Supervisors, City Manager's Office, the PIO, local news, all past commissioners in the past 10 years were there. And so I'm getting a lot of good happy hellos on the phone.
Do you have a head count as of today?
Oh, I wouldn't be shy in saying probably about 35.
Okay.
Yeah.
Including us?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you?
So I'm going to take care of that next week.
And Mark, can I kindly request that we do paper instead of styrofoam on the disposable?
Styrofoam was outlawed in New York City.
Yeah, I wish it would be everywhere. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it's my understanding that the commission is going to take care of the food, set up and take down with the coalition. And we also have a special guest, Teresa from WNC. I don't know if she was in one of the slides, but during that Cinco de Mayo kickoff festival, She came and recited a fantastic story about how she personally had reached deep down and find true grit to accomplish some of her goals. It's a fantastic recital, and so she's kind enough to stop by and entertain the crowd with that. And the mayor said he'd be there as well.
So commissioner reports or comments?
Well, I'm from one last plug. We have a concert under the stars on Wednesday night, Jefferson Starship and Midnight North, to benefit the Greenhouse Project, and tickets are going fast. So CarsonCityGreenhouse.org is the only place to get tickets. There may be a few for sale the night of the event, but I can't guarantee it. So get them ahead of time.
I have two. Mile High Jazz Band has a performance at Living the Good Life tomorrow night at 7:30, and that's free. And we also have our posters. There was an art contest. There were 10 applications, and this design was the winner for this year. It's going to be the cover of the program, as well as the general poster. So
are you going to sell those T-shirts, Ellie?
Yes.
Good.
The second winner was a design that we looked at and thought those would be great on a T-shirt. So we added information about the festival, had them made. They're available now. Okay. They're beautiful.
Yes, David was sporting one.
Kim Fields is the artist for the art we used for the T-shirts, and Bob Hickox is the artist for this one. He's also a photographer.
That's nice. Very nice.
So pass them out.
Can we have our T-shirts for you?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else have any?
So, just to wrap up, so a few of us are bringing dishes. And I was wondering if anyone would like to bring a cut-up watermelon to the picnic on Friday.
I will do that.
Okay, thank you, Lupe. I think I have everything else covered.
Excellent.
Yeah. I have no reports. The blessing ceremony at the Stewart Indian School is Wednesday morning at 9:30, and the public is invited to attend. I've been to a blessing ceremony down there before, and it was really, really neat. So I encourage everybody who's interested, it's right through the main gates going into the Stewart campus, and it's that lawn right there. That's what we'll all be at 9:30 before it gets too hot.
This Wednesday.
Yes. Thank you. Future agenda items. I still want to make the plug to have the Nevada Indian Commission folks come and give a presentation on their master plan that they finally have in hand now for that museum and cultural center. They've got drawings, renderings of the inside exhibit space and stuff. It's really neat. So I can follow up with them and see if they can attend our next meeting for a brief presentation, if that seems.
And I will publicly invite our steward over here, Mark Salinas, to make a presentation at Rotary. For the record.
Okay, upcoming meetings and events, I'll just go ahead and announce those. Our Cultural Commission 10th anniversary picnic will be at the Bliss Mansion on the 20th at 11:30 till 1:30-ish, maybe a little, or it might break up a little earlier than that. And then our next Cultural Commission meeting here in this room is on September 10th at 5:30.
Did I get the wrong thing? It says 5:30, 7/20/18, 5:30 p.m.
No.
Well, that's what it says.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
That's an error. That's a copy and paste error there. That's 11:30 a.m. on 7/20. Sorry.
And this is now the final time for the public that are present. If you would like to come up and make any comments on any topic or comments that on things that we discussed here tonight, in order for members of the public to participate in the consideration of an agenda item, we encourage members of the public to comment on an item during the item itself. We already said that, 3-minute limit. If you have any suggestions for future agenda items, please come forward, or if you have any wrap-up comments. Oh.
Hi, I'm Maureen Conlin, and I have the nonprofit Arts for Children of Nevada. We're in full swing doing activities. We had a percussion thing today at the library. We did a clowning workshop, theater workshop on Saturday, offered scholarships for an art camp that I ran. So things are going along really well. And I just wanted to share with you what the kids in the community did for and a couple of quilting ladies. It's not finished. Hoping, as I mentioned to Mark, that my original plan was to get these to hang at the airport. I have two of them because there were 50 children. When I saw the rattlesnake, that was when I suggested, hey, how about putting that with this with maybe a couple other pieces so it gets us advertising for Arts for Children Nevada, arts and culture advertising, and a ton of foot traffic. So anyway, that's my update.
Can I ask, what's your attendance been like at your events this summer?
Had 4th of July weekend, so we had 13 for the clowning workshop. We had over 40 today at the library for the percussion. We did the Pearly Gates concert. We had a good number, so it's growing. I'm also doing a tent in Genoa at their farmer's market where we do free art and music activities for the kids. I have an instrument petting zoo. They create the designs to be face painted on their face. I have art projects for them so that the community can come for free and enjoy arts and music. So
good job, Maureen. Thank
thanks.
You.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Stevie Galletto. I'm the Assistant Art Gallery Manager at Western Nevada College, and I wanted to announce our next exhibit. We have a Surrealist exhibit coming up in the fall. It's from August 27th through October 5th, and we will have two Surrealist artists, Ann Gregory and Kim Scott. Both are from Sacramento, and they're renowned Surrealist artists. We will have an opening reception and a closing reception. One will speak at each reception. So we're planning to make these pretty large events and engaging. We have interest from others of their followers who will hopefully come all the way from Sacramento to come to these receptions. And each artist will give a talk about their work at each reception. Our opening reception will be August 30th, and our closing reception we have planned for a Saturday and September 29th. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Could we get on the mailing list if you're sending out invitations?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public here tonight? Thank you. Oh, you're
not quite.
Okay.
The artists were from...
Please, go ahead and state your name.
Miles, Nevada Artists Association. The artists for the poster contest for the Jazz and Beyond Music Festival were from the NAA for the most part. So I'm just here to... Yay, team.
A little addendum to that is that it's music and art festival. It has really grown in the art part. We also have cinema and dance this year.
This doesn't have to be for the record, but I just say, well, okay, but it is so enjoyable to work with all of you and with Mark, and there seems to be an energy that's coming out that's wonderful, and it's fun to be a part of it.
I second that. I think it's fabulous. I think it's a wonderful energy that we carry on here. So kudos to you, Mark. You've done tremendous work.
I thank the commission.
Okay. I hate to cut all this short, but do I have a motion to adjourn?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you. It's 7:02 for the record.